We have with us our first speaker. She's absolutely amazing, someone that inspires me. I follow her, I watch content, I literally follow her, like, I want to know everything that she does. Please allow me to welcome Wendy Whittaker-Large. She has been in property business for many, many years, very, very experienced, and she's going to come and share some of her experience with us. Wendy, welcome.
Thank you very much indeed, Jack. I hope you can hear me and see me okay.
I can hear you loud and clear. And thank you for being with us. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I just can't wait to hear your experience on, you know, the property investment, HMO, your HMO journey, all of that.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. What a wonderful introduction. And I have to say, I've been listening to Jack this morning, and what incredible words of wisdom he has to offer. I really think so much of this is gold dust. You do not learn this at school. You do not learn this through your parents. You have to educate yourself differently if you are going to have a wealthy life. And for me, just as Jack was saying, life is about abundance. It's about living abundantly. And one of the ways in which we live abundantly is we manifest it through many different methods, through our health, through our relationships, and yes, through our finances. And everything that Jack was saying, I was sitting here saying, yes, brother, you tell it, because absolutely, he is so, so right. So what I want to do this morning is share with you some practical tools. If you're on that cusp, maybe this morning you're sitting there thinking, you know, I love this. I want to learn more. I want to educate myself. I need to change my mindset. I need to change my actions. I need to change my life. And let me tell you, all of us have sat in your seat at some point in our lives. Jack didn't get to where he was today by watching EastEnders and eating chocolate. He has had to take action. He has had to go out of his comfort zone. Me too. I have had to take action. I have had to do things that were deeply uncomfortable, deeply difficult. But I believe that it's by going out of our comfort zone that we learn, that we grow. And ultimately, life is all about growth. It's about growth so that you can be a better version of yourself. In 6 months, a year, 2 years' time, you can have more money, you can earn more money, you can make more money, you can share more money, you can give more money, but you will be a more abundant person. And for me, that's what it comes down to. Ultimately, this is about living life abundantly, whatever that means for you. It doesn't mean for me driving the latest Ferrari. What I love to do is spend time with my family and my friends. I love to have freedom, but I also love to travel. And I'm going to share with you a little bit more about how I managed to achieve the lifestyle that I have through houses and multiple occupation. So I'm going to share with you some of my journey, but I also want to start by thinking about you. So I'm going to start by sharing some slides with you about how I can help you, how you can help to learn to invest in HMOs. So let me just get those slides up on the screen. Now, can you see my screen okay? If I zoom in, I might be able to do the slideshow. Can you just put your hand up in the chat panel or say yes in the chat panel if you can see those slides okay? Just so that I know you can see it and you can hear me. Yeah? Falaki? Henry, Rajpal, thank you very much indeed. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. If ever they freeze or I'm speaking and you think a new slide should be showing, if you could indicate, I occasionally have problems with Zoom. I know we're all Zoom experts following COVID, but I still sometimes have the odd problem. So please do highlight it if you think, actually, Wendy, you're talking about something and we think there should be a slide, but it's not showing, just so that I can make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page. It's really important to me that what I'm sharing hits home with you and that you feel that you can connect with it. You know, today you're investing a lot of energy being here, and we know it's a very different environment when we're online than when we're in person. So I want to make sure that you have a great time. So how can you invest in HMOs? Now, this morning you might be thinking, well, I'm not sure whether I want to invest in HMOs. So I don't want you at this point to be thinking too much about the strategy. I'm going to share with you what I've done. I'm going to share with you my strategy and how my five-step system can help you. But why would you want to invest in HMOs? Just for a few seconds, have a think about your own situation. What would make a difference to your life right now? Would it be another £1,000 a month in income? Would it be another £3,000 a month in income? Maybe you actually want to leave your job. Maybe your job is grinding you down. You've done it for many years. You're not growing anymore. You know you've hit the ceiling and you really are ready for a change. Maybe that you're about to start a family and you're starting to think about what you can leave as a legacy to your children. Or maybe you're starting to think about retirement, but actually your pension isn't going to pay out. There could be many reasons why you're here today. And as we focus on those inner reasons, it's very much a reflection of, as Jack said earlier, this is actually about happiness, satisfaction, and having a life that is not worried about money. It's having a lifestyle and a position in life that allows you to know that if you needed to grow your income, you've got a number of different methods and approaches that you can use to do that. And it's incredibly freeing. But first of all, we focus on the why. We focus on why do this in the first place. That's why I like to start with you. You're the most important in the room today. You're the most important person here today. Now, what I'd like to share with you this morning is how my five-step system has literally changed people's lives. It's simple, it's straightforward, and I'm going to share with you those five steps. I'm also going to share with you how you can get by just putting a little bit of investment in, you can learn much more about my five-step system. And I'll share that with you at the end of the session. I want you to start to think about whether HMOs are the right strategy for you. They're not right for everybody. But if you're in the right place and time today, this could be an ideal strategy for you to start investing. What do you do if you have money to invest but no time, and vice versa? I want to talk about some of the pitfalls. I want to talk about some of the skills that you need. Some of the myths that surround HMOs, because there are many myths that stop people from investing, while the rest of us overcome those issues and carry on regardless, and the truth about investing in HMOs. So let me just start with a very simple example here. Here we have on the left-hand side a very traditional house. This is actually a house I own in Stoke-on-Trent. And on the left, this is an example of what it would be if it was a traditional buy-to-let property. It's a three-bedroomed terraced house. So the rental income...
Sorry, Wendy, your slide is not sharing. You're not...
Right. Thank you for sharing that with me. I wondered if this would happen. Let me just quickly look and see if I can change... Right. Does that make a difference?
That's it.
Can you now
yes,
see?
That's it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you, Falaki. I appreciate you letting me know. So here we have the left-hand side. This is a traditional sort of three-bed terraced house in Stoke. Rental income anywhere between maybe £590 and £650 a month. You might spend about £240 on your mortgage, and you'd be making about £350 profit. Now, depending on where you are in the country, you know, the levels, the rental levels might be higher, the cost might be higher, the rental levels might be lower, the cost might be lower. But you probably wouldn't make more than £350-£500 a month cash flow on that particular property. Now, look at this as an HMO on the right-hand side. This is an actual property, and these are real figures from this actual house. So we bought this house and turned it into a six-bed HMO. You can't tell it by looking at it, but the rooms are actually very decent sizes. We put in four en-suites, and two rooms share a bathroom. And this is the income we make from this one same property. £2,450 a month rental income. The mortgage and expenses are, of course, higher because we pay for the utility bills. And our profit is over £1,000 a month. Now, again, you can expand this, you can contract it. And we're going to look at some of those detailed figures to give you confidence, to realize that if you get some of these fundamentals right, and let me tell you, I work with people who are not great at maths. I work with people who don't have a property background. I work with people who have very busy day jobs, and they do it. They take these very ordinary properties and they turn them into amazing profit-making machines by knowing a few insider fundamentals. So here's a second project. This project was one that we did in Crewe. We live in South Cheshire and we invest in Crewe and in Stoke-on-Trent. And we work with investors to help them maximize their profits from property. So again, this was another large three-bed Victorian terraced house, of which there are hundreds and thousands across the country. Now, the purchase price of this was £102,000. It was a good price. And I think this project was completed about 18 months ago. I suspect now this property would probably be selling for another £20,000 to £30,000 because of the increase we've seen in property prices. So bear that in mind. It was a large refurb. As you can see, it cost £98,000 for the refurb. So the total cost was £200,000. But out of it, six bedrooms were produced. Now, one of the ways that I always like to break down the figures is to look at the cost of producing each room. Because when I understand the cost of producing each room, it makes it much easier for me, who is not that great at maths, to understand my return on my investment based on the rental income that I'm getting. So that's a bit of an insider tip there for you. So here we have some before and after photos. As you can see on the top left-hand corner, this was the living room before the fireplace was taken out and it was converted into an ensuite, beautiful ensuite bedroom. The top left picture is the original estate agent's photo of the kitchen. And as you can see, the bottom right is the new kitchen. And in fact, you'll see at the back of the kitchen, there's a new door and it says 3 on the back of it. And you might be wondering what that is. Well, I'm going to explain to you that that's what I call the jewel in the crown. And when you're looking for properties to convert into HMOs, try and look for the jewel in the crown. And I'll explain exactly what I mean by that in a moment. And this, in fact, is that room. This is room number 3. It is the jewel in the crown. It's a very large ensuite bedroom with built-in wardrobes and a desk. Obviously, nowadays, a lot of people are looking for desks for working from home. And that room alone is £550 a month in terms of rental income, which in our area has pushed the ceiling quite high. And that's another view of that same room with the ensuite at the back of the room and the double wardrobe there at the back. So when we first looked at this property, it was a very standard Victorian three-bed terrace. I'm sure if you've looked at floor plans, you would have seen similar kinds of floor plans before. You go into the lounge, you've got a dining room, you've got a medium kitchen, upstairs are three bedrooms with a bathroom. And you might look at this kind of floor plan and think, yes, well, I can probably only get 4 bedrooms out of it. Maybe I can only get 3 bedrooms out of it. So how do you get 6 bedrooms out of this property? Well, the first thing to realise is that often when you look at estate agents' plans, they haven't included all the information that you need to make an assessment. And that was very true in the case of this property, because the estate agent had left out a vital detail. And when I saw this vital detail, I realised that probably nobody else would buy this property, recognising its potential, because I saw the jewel in the crown. What was that jewel in the crown? It was this extra room. In fact, it was a garage that was attached to the back of the property. It was attached to the kitchen. And we realised that we could convert that into another bedroom. So downstairs, the plan was to convert the lounge and the dining room and the garage into 3 bedrooms. We would then create a new corridor next to the dining room that led into the kitchen to allow somebody to walk through into that back kitchen area. And then upstairs, what we decided to do, because bedroom 3 was too small, as you may know, there are minimum room sizes for HMO bedrooms. And we looked at the size of that room and thought, this bedroom is too small. What can we do with it instead? So we put 2 en suites upstairs in the master bedroom and bedroom 2, because there was plenty of room there. And then we incorporated the bathroom that was upstairs into bedroom 3, reducing it slightly in size. And hey presto, what did that mean? It meant we had a bedroom that met minimum room size regulations. So from a property that maybe somebody who was less educated might have looked at it and thought, oh, I don't think this is going to work as an HMO, we were able to create a 6-bed HMO from that one property by being clever about how we utilize space and by making sure that we looked for those hidden details that other people had probably missed. And this was the area that I call the jewel in the crown. Now, the reason I call it that is obvious, isn't it? Because that's the one that actually makes more profit by having that extra facility, that extra asset on that property. It makes a tremendous amount of difference to the income that you're going to be creating. And whether it's an outbuilding, a garage, it might be there's a huge loft that you can convert into another bedroom. The point is you're already buying the property, you're already buying the freehold, you're already buying the land. Why not maximize the value that you can bring? And I'm not talking here about stuffing people like sardines into a tin. What I'm talking here about is making sure that the quality retains its level, that you retain your standards, but what you're doing is you're actually giving more people accommodation on the same footprint, making you more money. Can you see why educating yourself about this makes such a difference? So if we look at the figures, we can see that 6 rooms at an average of £450 a month turns over £2,700 income. Now the utilities, we tend to say utilities are about £100 per person per month. I suspect that's going to go up. So we're probably going to be looking at more like £700 a month for utilities. That is still, we're still judging that at the moment. But at the moment, it's about £600 a month for utilities. The new mortgage, once the house was refinanced, came in at £620 a month. We always put in something for voids and maintenance. And with a managed amount put in there for management, the net profit on this particular property comes in at £1,020. That's fully managed. So you, as a landlord, would have nothing further to do because the agent would manage that property for you. So £1,240 a year income. What would you do with an extra £12,000 income? Just think right now what you would do with that. What kind of lifestyle could you have with just one extra HMO in your portfolio? Just think about the difference that could make to you. Would it be a holiday? Would it be reducing your work hours? Would it be maybe upgrading your own property? You can choose, it's your money. Now, let me show you another house. This is a smaller HMO, this is a 5-bed HMO, and you might look at this property and think, oh, it doesn't look very nice. And indeed, it was pretty unprepossessing when we found this in Stoke-on-Trent. Now, this house had been empty for 2 years. And one of the things I always say to myself is, how can I solve problems? I love solving problems. I enjoy solving problems. I enjoy solving problems for tenants. I enjoy solving problems for landlords. And I enjoy solving problems for myself and that of investors. So this particular property had been empty for 2 years. And because of that, the council tax that the owner was paying had doubled. So this guy was really in a quandary. There was part of him that didn't want to sell the property because he was thinking about developing it himself. But he was one of these people who procrastinated for so long that nothing had happened with the house. And we, through our network, found out about this property and we wrote to the owner. And after a few weeks, he started to soften up a little bit. And we did a bit of dealing, a bit of wheeling dealing with him and managed to arrange the price to be £93,000. Originally, it had been on at £107,000, but because he had procrastinated so long, we actually kept bringing the price down. And also, what we had agreed with him was while the purchase was going on, we would pay the council tax for him. Now, that conveyancing took about 4 months. So over that 4-month period of time, we paid his council tax, which is about £220 a month. Now for him, that was a real winner because it meant that cash flow wise, he was in a better position. So that's why he actually accepted a lower offer because we made this creative deal with him to pay his council tax. We spent about £57,000 on the refurb. So the total cost of this project was £150,000. And this was actually completed during lockdown. So when everybody else was stopping, we carried on. We worked with our builder to make sure that they were COVID safe. We made sure that they had all the right processes in place. And, you know, we didn't stop just because the whole other world country had stopped. We didn't stop because we knew that we had a valuable product to bring to the market which was HMO rooms that people want and need. So in this case, each HMO room cost us about £30,000 to produce, and the rental in this area is slightly lower. So we knew that the rental income would be about £430 per month per room. So a total with the five rooms of £25,800 a year rental income. So this is a picture of the floor layout. You can see here the lower ground, the ground floor. When you came into the property, there was room one and room two, which actually had been knocked to be a through lounge diner in the original layout. Then there was a kitchen and then a bathroom. And then upstairs, there were three bedrooms. And what we did was we changed it, you might be able to see from this diagram, into two bedrooms downstairs with a lovely new kitchen diner and actually a shower room. We took out the bath. Our architect has left in the picture of the bath, but we took the bath out and put in a brand new, new modern shower room. And then upstairs, we had two bedrooms with en-suites and then a third bedroom at the back without an en-suite. So we had three rooms in this house that were sharing a bathroom and two that had their own separate en-suite. So these are some of the pictures of the property once we'd finished it. And we got a commercial valuation on this property. So in terms of the way that the commercial valuer added value to this property was he added a multiplier. Now, this is one of the benefits of investing in HMOs is that when you refinance, if the property meets certain requirements and your lender is happy to lend on a commercial basis, you can get a multiplication value based on the income of the rents. So you're not any longer based just on the bricks and mortar value. You're now starting to look at adding value in terms of the rental income that you're receiving. So in this case, what happened was that the multiplier was about 7.5 times the gross income, which came to £193,500. He took off 15% for the bills, which brought it down to £164,475. And then they lent 75% of that value. So the value of the new mortgage was £123,356, to be precise. So what that meant was that there was just over £26,500 left in the property. Not all the money on this project was able to be taken out. But, you know, that was OK. Imagine if you had £26,500 and at the moment it's sitting in the bank. There's two things that that's happening to your money that you are losing out on. Number one, inflation. And as Jack mentioned earlier, the inflation rate that we're told is definitely not the inflation rate that's actually occurring at the moment. It's likely that 10% per annum of that money is reducing in value, sitting in the bank. And the second thing is interest rates. Have you looked at your bank saving rate recently? How much are you actually getting? So you're losing on interest rates if you're a saver, you're losing if you are saving because of inflation. But look what happens if you had this property and you'd had to leave in that level of income, that level of money, that capital. Well, the income on this property is £2,150. So if we take off all the costs, which includes the utilities, the mortgage, the voids and maintenance, and the management fee, I'm not going to imagine that you would be managing this. Let's add in a management fee to make it a realistic proposition. The net profit on this property fully manages £890 a month. Per annum, that's £10,680 a year, and the return on investment is a whopping 40%. So just think, with two HMOs, the 6-bed in Crewe and the 5-bed in Stoke, you're now making nearly £25,000 a year net profit on those two properties. Can you see now why I'm a fan of HMOs? You can see how HMOs can rapidly increase your income, rapidly change your lifestyle, and rapidly impact what you're trying to do with your life. Now, if you're new to HMOs, you might be saying, but why do people rent an HMO room? You know, who are these people who are renting an HMO room? So let's just have a quick think about that. In the chat panel, just write why you think people rent an HMO room. Give me some ideas. Let me know why you think HMOs work. Brilliant. So Margie said single people. Absolutely. They haven't got responsibilities. They're free. They want the freedom of renting. It's affordable, says Alan. Absolutely. university students, professionals, you have a wide range of different people. Why else, though, do people rent an HMO room? It's affordable, absolutely. Guy says it's social. I love that. That's really true, Guy. We get a lot of people saying, I don't actually want to live on my own. I want to live with other people. Any other ideas? Yes, that people are working away from home, so they need somewhere temporary to live while they're working, and they don't want the cost or the unfamiliarity of a hotel room. Flexibility, very, very true. Also, we offer all-inclusive rent. Now, when you buy a mobile phone these days, you also get data, you get all sorts of other bundles in with that mobile phone, don't you? You get text, you know, SMS text. You know, in the early days, this is showing my age now, when I very first had a mobile phone, you had to buy text packages separately. There was no such thing as data at that stage. It was very, very early for the mobile phone, and it was like a big brick. But nowadays, you get it all packaged in together, don't you? You buy all-inclusive deals on your mobile phone. Well, that's what people want for accommodation. They want an all-inclusive deal. Margie says they're needing somewhere while they look for something more permanent. Absolutely. So there are lots of reasons why people rent an HMO room. And in fact, in 2019, Knight Frank did a survey. They did a tenant survey looking at the reasons the different types of people rent. And what I think is very interesting is if we look at sharers here, that a key reason is because they don't have the mortgage deposit to allow them to move. And that's probably become even harder since COVID. But equally, if you look at that sort of a teal line in the middle, they don't want the responsibility of owning a home. Now, that's really interesting. So over probably 10 to 15% of sharers, as we call them, actually don't want the responsibility of the maintenance and looking after a property. Now, the other part of that survey that was carried out is very interesting because this was, again, pre-COVID. It'd be interesting if they re-ran this study. But 69% of all the people they surveyed who were tenants expected that they will still be renting accommodation in 3 years' time. And if you look at sharers, that figure is about 67% of that total. So there are a lot of people who choose to rent. There's a lot of reasons why people want to rent. And HMOs are a very valuable part of that rental accommodation, part of that rental ecosystem, you might call it. Now, if we were to look at what rents are doing in the UK at the moment, this is the latest data from Spare Room. Spare Room is probably the only site actually that collates this data. It's very, very hard to get this. I've looked at the Office for National Statistics data set, but they tend to just do house rents for buy-to-lets. But this is data that's come directly from Spare Room. And you can see there the average rent in the UK at the last quarter of 2021 was £585 a month. Now that includes London rents. If we take out London, the average rent is about £516 a month. So you can see that where we are, our rents are actually a little bit lower than average. Well, that's partly because the economy is not so high. You know, our sort of area GDP is not as productive as other parts of the UK. And also because house prices are lower in our area. Now, there is a way that you can have a look at this information on Spare Room. And in fact, here is a chart of average rents by region. So you can see here the changes that have happened. The middle column is what average monthly rent was doing in quarter four 2020. And the left-hand column is what's happening a year later. And then the annual change is listed on the right. Now, I think it's really interesting to look that every area has had an increase in rent. Every single area has had an increase in rent. Some obviously more than others. Northern Ireland, a whopping 11%. Scotland, 32%. Massive. And some of this is because of a reduction in available property. People say to me, but Wendy, the HMO market is saturated. Well, it is if you're looking at vanilla, ordinary, boring, dull, not very well presented, badly managed HMOs. Yes, there are quite a lot of those out there. But actually, if you're going to do this well, if you're going to do this properly, if you're going to attract the right tenants, there isn't an oversupply. Now, earlier in the chat panel, somebody asked me about Article 4. Can't go into Article 4 today. The good news is that property that you looked at was not in an Article 4 area. Oh, excuse me for sneezing. You can tell it's live, can't you? Because I'm sneezing live. It's probably the sort of you know, the gold dust coming off the presentation that's making me sneeze. So why do I think that HMO investing makes sense now? Why I think you should really consider it as a strategy and perhaps do some more education and training to help you get on? Well, we know that the savings rate is poor. Even this morning, I was looking on the news, Nationwide Bank has increased its savings rate, but you know, by like a measly 0.25%. You're not going to make money by saving your money. Yes, we want you to be good managers of money. Yes, in order to manifest money, you actually have to demonstrate responsibility when it comes to money, and not, even if you become a multimillionaire, not spending more than you earn. There is something in the sort of natural scheme of things that when you are good at managing money, it's much more likely that you will be good at making money. The two go hand in hand. So I would never recommend that anybody was irresponsible, even once they've made their millions. But it's unlikely you will make millions if you are irresponsible with money. But savings is not the way to manifest more money. Pensions. Have you looked at what your pension is doing and how much return you're likely to get? I heard the other day that my son is going to have to work till he's 73 to get the pension that he wants from his engineering company. And I'm really glad that last year he bought his very first property. In fact, I'm very glad that both my older sons are themselves now property investors, because they can see the benefit this will bring to them, both in the short term and in the long run. You may be having to work longer to make ends meet, to earn more money, particularly with the cost of living increases that we're seeing. People are having to move to find jobs. So as was said in the chat panel, this is a great time to be investing in HMOs for those individuals, for those people who are coming to the UK to work and don't have somewhere permanent to live, but even people who are working across the UK and need somewhere nice, clean, tidy, well-maintained, well-managed for them to live. As we've seen, property prices are increasing, so tenants aren't able to buy. Perhaps their savings, perhaps what they had been trying to save for now, is not going to allow them to buy a property. You get multiple streams of income in just one property when you have an HMO. And, you know, looking at these profits, I'll tell you what, just a handful of HMOs can change your life. And I certainly found that for myself. The bigger reason, though, is that money can be replaced, but time can't. You see, one of the things I've learned over the last few years is that there's oodles of money in the world. There's money all over the place. And during COVID, governments across the world printed more and more and more money. There's money out there looking for a home. There are people out there with money sitting in savings accounts and they don't know what to do with it. You might not have a lot of money right now, but you have education. You're here today learning. You're here today changing your mindset. You're here today learning the things that those people who are still saving don't know. You can take your knowledge, you can take your newly found mindset and apply it. And it's by doing that that you can make money. I ran out of money very early on in my HMO investing journey. I had completed two HMOs and that was it. All my money was gone and I hit a brick wall. I didn't know what to do. What I did was I learned how to raise money from other people who didn't know how to do HMOs. And it was that that opened the key, that unlocked the door to my financial growth and well-being. And I believe that HMOs can do exactly the same for you too. You see, this is a handful of HMOs. And look at each of those profits made that I'm making on each of those properties per month. A 5-bed all-in suite, $860 a month. A 7-bed, $1,250 a month. A 6-bed, $1,400 a month. A 5-bed all-in suite, $920 a month. Now, with just a handful of HMOs, you could do what you said you wanted to do just a few minutes ago in your head at the beginning of this presentation, when you thought to yourself, I'd like to leave my job. I'd like to leave a legacy. I'd like to have a pension. Whatever it was, how many HMOs would you need to make that happen? And it might be that HMOs isn't what you ultimately want to do. Well, that's fine too. In fact, I had a man come to me a couple of years ago who had spent all his money on a big commercial conversion. The problem was he'd run out of cash. And because he had no cash, he had no income. And so although he had this wonderful big project, this multi-million pound project, he didn't have any income. My recommendation would be get some different streams of income going. Create multiple streams of income that allow you to then do those bigger projects later on. And it's very much a stepping stone. Once you learn one thing, you can learn the next thing, and you can learn the next thing. For me, starting with HMOs allowed me then to go on and do commercial projects. It's allowed me to go on and do other, I'm doing a block of flats at the moment. We converted a chapel near to where we live a few years ago. These other projects are projects that I've done since, but the HMOs gives me my steady, regular income. So when it comes to the HMO strategy, we've got to realize it's more advanced than buy-to-let. You're going to need some education, and you're going to think about your mindset as well. You can start small. You could do a four-bed HMO, for example. It doesn't require a license, and there are lots of other additional benefits for doing a small HMO, what I call a minimo. They're brilliant for raising money. So if you have run out of money, you could utilize other people's finance. You do need to know about legislation and regulation. So there's some education involved. You need to know where you're going to be investing. You need to look at those figures carefully and do your due diligence. But there are lots of options when it comes to HMOs, asylum seekers, charity leases and contracts, students, professionals. You've mentioned some of these already today. So there are lots of ways in which your property can be utilized in the community. You must think about who's going to manage the HMO, because that's a key part of making sure that it works well and that it carries on being rented out. Now, I've created a self-assessment tool. This is a free tool, and in a moment, I will copy and paste that into the chat panel. If you're thinking about investing in HMOs, it's maybe just a few questions to make you think about whether you're ready to start investing. In my experience, people tend to have three core problems when it comes to property. And I'm sure you can relate to one of these. It's either time, it's money, or it's knowledge. And I bet there's one of those that you're thinking this morning, yeah, that's particularly my problem. I'm really busy. I don't think I could do this. It sounds like it's going to take too much of my time. Or you might be thinking, well, I'd love to do HMOs, but Wendy, I just haven't got any money to invest. I just don't have anything. Or you might be thinking, well, I've got some money and I've got a bit of time, but how would I do it? I just don't know how to do it. Most people I meet have one of those problems. And this weekend is about helping you to overcome those and to recognize that these are challenges that I've had. These are challenges that Jack has had. These are challenges that many of the speakers you'll hear today have had. We've learned how to overcome these problems. We've learned solutions to these problems. We've stood on the shoulders of giants who've gone before us and learned from them. And I believe if you do the same, you too can overcome these problems, because they all have solutions. If other people can do it, you can do it too. So here are a few suggestions as to how to solve some of those problems. Use leverage. You know, one of the key words in property is leverage. Leverage your time, your finances, and your knowledge, and your network. You know, one of my mentors once said, your network is your net worth. You probably have somebody in your network who can help you overcome one of those problems. If you're a busy person like I was, I had four boys all living at home, and my husband was working away during the week. So I was a single mum of four boys during the week. It's a wonder I didn't have a nervous breakdown. I had to create a support network to help me juggle when I was doing my HMOs and building my portfolio and networking and raising finance. It was really important I had people around me who could help me. So find a way to support yourself, create that support network around you. Whether it's a partner, your children, bring them in. Bring them into what you're doing. Bring them into your vision. Because when they get excited, they're much more likely to be willing to make some of those sacrifices which will be needed for you to go from where you are to where you want to go. Learn how to outsource, or maybe use a virtual assistant. I have found virtual assistants to be like a magic wand in my business, because all the things either I don't want to do or I don't like doing, they often do very well. They do much better than I can do them, and they are a wonderful tool to help me to leverage my time. Systemize. Having a system will massively reduce your time, and this is exactly why I created my five-step system. I'm not a particularly systematic person, truth be told, but actually I realized that by systemizing my business, I could grow and scale my business. So I'd really encourage you to think about systems from day one. And remember to focus. You see, we only all have 24 hours in the day, don't we? And if you're going to do this, you might have to say no to other things. In fact, you will have to say no to other things. Mindset and education. These are the two core tools to solve your problems. If your mindset is right, you will take the correct action. If the education is right, you will get the right results. These two are the key to solving your problems and making money through property. I love this quote from Steve Jobs. This is what he said. People think focus means saying yes to the thing you've got to focus on, but that's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas that are there. You have to pick carefully. And it's true, isn't it? If you're going to have a lie-in in the morning to get more sleep, yep, that's lovely, and maybe you need some more sleep, but you're not going to be getting out for a run. You're not going to be going down the gym at 6:30 in the morning because you're still in bed. If you choose to go down the pub on a Friday night and go out with your friends and drink a load of beers, that's great. Nice to socialize with them. Maybe some of them will become investors. Nothing wrong with that, you might say. But if it means that you're not getting an early night and then you're not up early in the morning working on your business when you could be, maybe that's something that needs to go. I can't tell you what sacrifices you need to make, but if you're going to change your life, if you're going to change who you are, if you're going to be a manifester of abundance, something has to change. Now, the system I created is very, very simple. It's find it, fund it, finish it, fill it, and future-proof it. And you might say, but Wendy, there's no detail there. And you're absolutely right, which is why I then developed the five-step system to have other aspects to each of those. And I'm not going to go into depth into any of these today because I'm going to give you an opportunity to go away and educate yourself about each of these five steps. And each of these steps I've gone into great detail in, into the two books that I've written to help you if you're starting off on your journey with HMOs. And it allows you to work through all of the things I've talked about today, from finding money from investors, to finding the right property, to looking for the right tenants, to managing and systemizing your property business. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about me now. So this is me, my husband, Andy. And we've been married for nearly 20 years. I was married before. And I, in 2013, started investing in HMOs, really as a way of helping to grow my income. Because in a minute, I'm going to show you a photo of my children. And you'll see why I needed a lot of income just to feed them. Boy, oh boy, have you tried feeding a teenage boy recently? The amount they eat, it's incredible. So in 2013, I started investing in HMOs. And since then, I've grown a huge property portfolio. And yes, I have bought a pub and I have commercial property and I've done conversions as well. So we now have our own letting agency. I manage or own over 185 rooms, what we sometimes call units. We won an award as the letting agent of the year. I've authored two Amazon best-selling books on HMOs. I'm a successful mentor and trainer. And it's the lifestyle that I've created, which I'm really most joyous about. I could use the word proud, but I don't want to be proud. I want to stay humble. I want to say that what I've done is something you can do. I'm nothing special. I've had my fair share of failures, of mistakes, of difficulties, of challenges. My life has been in no way magical or special. But what I decided to do was to change it. What I decided to do was to increase my income so I could have freedom. And now I only work about 4 hours a week on my business, which is, you know, a wonderful position to be in. So what this has allowed me to do is I left my well-paid job. I was a senior lecturer in education at a local university. I've created a multi-million pound property portfolio, which includes HMOs, single buy-to-lets, and commercial property. By 2016, we were financially free and it allowed my husband also to leave his job. We have over 185 rooms in the Northwest that we own or manage. I've also helped hundreds of other people find their HMO hotspot. Where are they going to invest? Where are they going to grow their portfolio? I've helped my children to become property investors. And some of the other achievements, which are not to do with property, but just things that I've wanted to do. I've run the London Marathon twice and raised thousands of pounds for charity. I'm actually in the Chester Marathon this year. I've run the Great North Run last year, and I've done many other running races. Now, if you're into fitness and health and running, you know you have to train. It takes time to train. In fact, later on today, I'm going out for one of my long runs, which will probably be an hour and a half, an hour and three quarters. If you're very busy because you're swapping your time for money, you don't have time to do that. I didn't have time to do that when I was working full time and I had four boys at home. Well, now I've got the time, I've got the freedom. And it's allowed me to donate thousands of pounds to charity, which I find incredibly rewarding. And I know it helps other people too. So here's a picture of my family. if we go around the table, this is Luke on the left. He's my third son. Then we have Sam there, who's just moved, so his face is a bit blurry. He's my eldest son. But Tom at the end of the table there, he's my fourth son. And then Jonathan, who is just there on the right with his girlfriend, Anna. He's my second son, and there's me grinning away. So you can see why, when I started my business, I had a very big reason why. Now, what you can't see in this photo, what's not obvious from this photo, is that my two eldest boys have got cystic fibrosis. Now, cystic fibrosis is an inherited genetic disease. There's no cure. There are some great treatments around, and there's some great drugs that can help them, but it is a life-threatening condition. And if you know anybody who has a life-threatening condition, whether it's sickle cell anemia, diabetes, cystic fibrosis, you know the toll it takes on the person and on their family. And through the whole time the boys were at home and growing up, every day we had to do daily physiotherapy, daily treatment, daily drug treatments. They were in hospital every 6 weeks. We had to take them monthly to their clinic appointments. There's a huge amount of time and effort that goes into that. And of course, the heartache, the worry, the fear. And as a mum who was at home with my boys at that time, I shouldered the burden. And it was very, very tough. It was very, very difficult. But I knew that if I could get through this, if I had the right mindset, if I had the right focus, if I had a belief that I could do this, I knew that in the long run, we would all be better off. And I think we all have that inner reason why. I think all of us have an inner reason why something drives us, whether it's something to do with our childhood or our upbringing or our self-belief or a passion that we have. And I think this weekend, you know, if there's nothing else, I'd love you to tap into that. So when you leave today, you go away inspired, motivated and determined that you will do what it takes to fulfill your reason why. I'm really delighted that I've also been able to work with other people who've got really big reasons why. So this is my friend Sarah. She started investing in HMOs with just over £50,000. Some of that was a refinance from our own property. She raised the £50,000 to develop a 5-bed HMO in Stoke, which she's rented to a charity. So she is helping people in the community by renting this property to her charity. And she's making just over £1,200 a month. She's now working on her second deal. She just needs 3 HMOs to retire from her job. What an amazing story. She did this alongside a very busy full-time fundraising role. This is Tunji. Now, funnily enough, Tunji actually used to be one of my tenants. Wow, that's the circle of life. He's an IT project manager living in the south of England, living in London, works huge hours, really hardworking guy. He did a JV with another investor. He learned how to raise money. He learned how to joint venture with somebody else. And 2 projects were on the go. He's making over £3,500 a month from those 2 projects. And he just needs another 2 projects to give up his job. And he aims to achieve this by his second year. Now he's investing in South London. So it can be done. It can be done all over the country. You see, Brian Tracy once said, commit yourself to lifelong learning. The most valuable asset you'll ever have is your mind and what you put into it. And I really believe that. And I believe that's why you're here today. Now, I said to you earlier, I'd like to give you a really good deal, something really easy to invest in. And this is my book, 101 Essential Tips for Running a Professional HMO. And before I work with anybody, either as a mentoring client or for somebody who comes on one of my courses, I always ask them to read the book because it gives you a very good overview of the tips that I've created in my business to help you. So I'm going to give you the link in the chat panel in a moment, along with the self-assessment link, so you can get your copy absolutely free. It sells on Amazon for, I think it's about £5 or £6, and you have to pay postage on top of that. Today, I'm only asking for £2.95 for postage and packing, and you can get your book in the post this week absolutely free. So if you're interested in investing in HMOs, I would highly recommend that you invest just £2.95 to get your free book, which will teach you all the steps of my five-step system. Remember, you are here to build your income, your knowledge, and your confidence. And just as I have done, just as every speaker this weekend has done, we have stood on the shoulder of giants. A handful of these miraculous properties can change your life. So remember, HMOs take a bit of risk. They take some time. It's not a get-rich-quick strategy. You're going to have to learn. You're going to have to apply yourself. You're going to have to invest. And you're going to have to use some creativity. How will you do it? Well, the first decision starts with today. The future depends on what you do today. That's what Gandhi said. So make that right decision and make that right choice. Thank you very much indeed for listening to me. I've got some time for questions. And if you want to contact me, those are my contact details. And you know, I'd love to help you on your HMO journey. Thank you very much indeed for listening.
Thank you so much, Wendy. That was really brilliant. I like seeing the before and after pictures as well. It's really, really inspiring what you can do with a bit of creativity. I was just wondering from the presentation regarding commercial valuations. I think there's always two sides of that opinion with commercial valuations for HMO. What would you say will be better in terms of long-term prediction of income for HMOs? Because I tend to stick more with bricks and mortar rather than commercial valuations. But what do you think?
So I think it's a really good question, and it partly depends on the policy of your lender. So working with a good commercial broker is key to getting a good commercial valuation. There are some lenders like Shawbrook, for example, that are very happy to give a full commercial revaluation. Others, it depends on the size of the property. Certainly what we found is if a property has a license, it has a few en-suites, although it doesn't have to be fully en-suited, and there's been significant changes to the property, you're more likely to get a full commercial valuation on that property. But as you say, there are some, in some places actually, and in some property situations, a bricks and mortar valuation actually might be a better solution. I think you have to take it property by property. Each case is a unique case in point. And I think it's a case of doing the maths, using, if you've got a spreadsheet that you can utilize to analyze the figures, work with your mortgage broker and figure out which is the best and most appropriate type of product for you. Because ultimately, it's going to change which product, which mortgage product you'll have access to as to which valuation happens.
Absolutely. Thank you. Lots of positive comments in the chats, by the way. People have really benefited and got inspired by the story that you shared. Looking at the one of the, I think it was the first one where the jewel in the crown one, that was really good. When you have like a garage or an outbuilding, do you need to get planning, don't you, to be able to convert that into a room or not?
Well, this is a really good question. Sometimes it depends on the local council. So in that case, because the garage was actually attached to the property at the back and it already had a window, we didn't need to do anything to the external of the property, which meant that when we went to the council, they said, all you need is permitted development and we will allow, because it was already changing from a 3-bed residential property to a 6-bed HMO, that went from C3 planning to C4 planning, which was permitted development. They said they would allow us under building regs to add on the extra room under the permitted development plan. So we didn't actually need to get permitted development for that garage. But you're right, in certain circumstances, depending on the layout of the building and how that particular jewel in the crown is attached or not attached to the building, you may have to get planning permission. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. And there are a few questions, some of them you've actually answered, but there's one from Zach. He says, what are the three key pitfalls, what are the three key pitfalls you would advise to avoid in investing in HMO with the recent changes in regulation? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so pitfalls. I would say probably very typical pitfalls that you might hear from other people speak about: paying too much for a property, but spending too much money on that property first off. And as a sideline to that, I would say not having enough deals on the go. One of the failures, I think, sometimes of new property investors is to get very emotionally attached. Oh, I've got the deal of the century. This is going to be great. I'm going to love this property. It's going to be the making of me. And then suddenly it falls through and then you're devastated. So getting emotionally attached to property is not wise. And I learned that early on in my journey, because that happened to me. And I said to myself, I'm never going to get emotionally attached. And the way that I do not get emotionally attached is I always have two deals on the go at once. So I'm always looking for two properties at once. So if one falls through, I've always got the option of my backup deal. So I think paying too much for a property, getting emotionally attached to a property. And then thirdly, I would say is paying too much for the refurb. There are very simple and cheap tricks that you can do to a property to make it look amazing, but you do not necessarily have to have brand new windows, a brand new roof, brand new structure, brand new everything. In fact, what I'd say to people is those costs, which let's say brand new doors and windows, can be very expensive, but actually they're what I call invisible. They don't necessarily make a tenant want to rent your house over another HMO. It's understanding your market. When you know what your market is looking for, you can provide things that they want, which you do not have to spend thousands of pounds for. A beautifully presented room doesn't cost a lot of money. Being able to offer a good service, it doesn't cost a lot of money. There are lots of additional benefits you can offer that don't cost a lot of money. And what I see newbie investors often make the mistake is spending too much on the refurb. So that's a third pitfall.
Fantastic. There was a question here from, I think it was from Helen, saying, how do you manage a build when you're investing away from your home territory? I think you kind of covered that on leverage, and I guess the rest of the answer will be in your book as well.
Well, it's a really good question. So I've got clients from Singapore, Hong Kong and Canada who I'm working with right now. A couple who are living in Singapore, 7,000 miles from the UK, and they're doing two HMO projects at the moment in the UK, and they've only been here once in the last year. That is the power of a system and the power of leverage.
Absolutely. And somebody's asking if you do HMO investment finding opportunities. Do you find opportunities for people? Is that a service that you offer?
We do. In my other company, which is my rental company, we do it. We have a sourcing business as well. So if anyone's interested, I put my email address on the chat panel. Just drop me an email. We'll get a call together. And yeah, I can talk you through that. That's fine.
Fantastic. I think we need to wrap up now because Jack has a mic. Thank
you. Actually, I have a couple of questions. Wendy, can you hear me?
Yes, great.
Okay, so if you were to list anywhere between 3 to 10 principles that you follow on daily basis to be able to get to a point where you are, or maybe even beyond that, depending on how ambitious someone is, what are the 3 to 10, I'll let you choose the number, the principles that you stick to on daily basis?
Well, they're very simple. I get up early. I personally have found that the earlier I rise, the more effective I am. I not 7 days a week. I allow myself 1 day a week when I have a lie-in, but the 6 days a week, I'm up before 6:30.
6:30, okay.
Yes. And so I'm not 5:30. I'm not a 5 a.m. club member, but 6:30. And I find, and for some people, that's not going to be particularly early. You're perhaps already getting up at 6:30 to get ready for work and so on. So, it's got to suit your lifestyle. I could get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. My son is taken to school. He goes on the school bus. He's very organized. He gets himself sorted out. He's 14 years of age. If I wanted to, I could lie in bed all morning. But for me, getting up before 6:30 in the morning allows me to take charge of my day, to plan ahead, to focus in my mind what I need to do and to get into the right mind space. And I feel that's very important. The second thing for me is exercise, the same as you, Jack. I absolutely love exercising. Either I run or I do strength training. Again, 6 days a week, I have one day, which is my rest day, because I think that's important for your body. But I think that's vital that I exercise every day. It's perhaps not the case that everybody is going to want to run the marathon, but I do feel that, you know, our bodies and our minds are a tool for well-being and for productivity. And if they're not fit and looked after, then you are missing a massive part of your own productive tooling kit, because that is you. You are your own best tool. And then I suppose the third thing I would say is probably nutrition. I haven't always been that good at nutrition, but recently I've been working with a sports nutritionist, and he's opened my eyes to the importance of regular good nutrition. And you know, I've probably come to the party a little bit late, but I've realized how important it is to eat well, because then once those foundation building blocks are in place, actually you can have lots of energy. And I have energy from morning, noon till night. I probably drive my family mad because I'm like this at 10:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and I'm like this at 10:30 on Sunday at night. I have lots of energy, and energy is a key part of success, because it allows you to maintain, to maintain relationships, to sustain development, to complete projects, and to finalize what you're trying to achieve. It allows you to achieve your goals. And so for me, that's a key part of being able to achieve my goals, is keeping myself in my top form, my best form, and always striving for improvement.
Okay, here is a stretch question for you. Without explaining bullet points, the rest of the seven.
Okay, healthy relationships. So don't go to bed angry. You know, I have to keep a good relationship with my lovely husband, and we have a great marriage, but we don't want to go to bed angry. Keeping in touch with my sons, who aren't always the greatest communicators, making sure I touch base with them once a week, and my family, because they're very important to me. Spending some time reading. I think reading, listening to podcasts, educating myself every day, even if it's just 10 minutes on a quick podcast when I'm doing some tidying up in the kitchen. Always self-development, always learning, listening to other people. So that's three. Number four, managing my wealth. So I'm lucky to be financially free. I've got a great portfolio, but I don't take it for granted. I'm always looking to see how I can get better returns, what I can do better with the resources that I have. Number five, I try and do something nice for somebody every day. So I don't always achieve this, but I might send somebody flowers, a little postcard, a little gift, a card, maybe one of my mentees or a friend. It could be lots of different things. So trying to be nice to somebody. Number six would be rest. Make sure that you get enough rest. Make sure you get a good night's sleep. I go to bed about 9:30. I read for a bit in bed, then my light's off probably about 10. And getting a good night's sleep, I think, is vital. And then number seven, occasionally having the odd treat. Celebrating wins. If you get a great deal over the line, if your HMO's rented out, go for a meal, get a nice bottle of wine in, have a good time, enjoy it. If you can't do that, what's the point? Those would be my seven.
Absolutely amazing, Wendy. I feel that if I told you to share another 10, it would bring out more wisdom and more clarity about your own life, about yourself, which eventually gives more clarity to other people. But I'm pretty sure if I was to give you that, I won't do that. But if I was to give you, I'm pretty sure there's more wisdom would come out. But no, thank you for sharing all of that. I think things that you shared are absolutely vital. And, you know, like you said, gold dust. Most people don't realize, and I was sharing this yesterday in one of the sessions, that, you know, if things are not working, go back to the basics. You've got the basics wrong. And if your health is suffering, you've got something basic wrong. If your finances are suffering, you've got something basic wrong. You don't need to know technical advanced strategies. You can do them later if you want to reach the 100 million plus mark or whatever. But if you just get your basics right, getting to a million, two, three, four, five, even 10 million is not rocket science. And I believe the whole purpose of doing these events is to bring people just to the basics. And thank you for sharing all that. Absolutely amazing. Pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm really honored to be here. And thank you so much for inviting me, Jack. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you once again. And for those who want to grow your HMO portfolio, I would say I do not know personally anyone, and I know the whole industry pretty much, I don't know anyone better than Wendy when it comes to HMS Doug. So do get in touch with her. She'll be able to give you lots of free resources. And eventually, if it gets to a point where she can guide you, that would be, I think we all, somewhere, somehow, those who teach, I mean, I learned this from Mother Teresa, that, you know, if you really want to do something and achieve something in life, help the person that's next to you, because that is the only moment we have, and that is the only person you have in front. So help the person that's next to you. It applies to you, it applies to Wendy, it applies to me, and I'm pretty sure Wendy would be more than happy to help you out. Thank you, Wendy.